This is Queer Voices.
And the station you're listening to is KPFT. KPFT has been on the air since 1970.
And I am Andrew Edmondson, and we had some very sad news last week. A Houston gay theater pioneer, Joe Watts, died on Tuesday, March 13th, after a battle with cancer. He was 76 years old. Dubbed the grandfather of gay theater in Houston, Joe began directing and acting in Houston queer theater productions in the early 1980s. One of the first productions in which he appeared was an all-male version of Noel Coward's classic comedy, Private Lives, staged at the Pink Elephant Bar downtown, one of Texas's oldest gay bars. In 1985, he founded the Group Theater, one of Houston's first gay theater companies, and in the mid-1990s, he went on to found another queer theater company, Theater New West, in Montrose. He acted in over 75 productions and directed over 60 productions. He also worked as a producer, an acting teacher, and a theater critic. A memorial service has tentatively been scheduled for Joe at the Montrose Center on Tuesday, April 17th at 7 p.m. We are honored to have join us on Queer Voices tonight to discuss Joe's legacy, George Jonte Crane, who was one of Joe's best friends for over 40 years. George, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, when did you first meet Joe and how?
Joe and I first met in 1973. He was acting in a production at Theater Suburbia, which at that time was located out in the Oak Forest area on West 43rd Street. It is still arguably perhaps the oldest community theater in the city of Houston. I don't have that as I don't have that as a firm thing, but Theater Suburbia has been around for a long time, and they are still producing a wonderful theater in a new theater building out off of 290. I was intrigued about going to see the production because they were staging Harold Pinter's play, The Birthday Party. I don't know how much you know about Harold Pinter, but his plays are very deep, full of multiple subplots, and they are a challenge for even one, even some of the finest professional theaters like the Alley and Main Street stages, and for a community theater to tackle a Harold Pinter play is quite something. But I learned over the years when I was living in Houston that that nothing was too challenging for Theater Suburbia. And so I went to see the play. Joe had, I would call, a cameo role in the show, but he, in usual Joe Watts style, as I learned over the years, was just, he was excellent in the role. And I was invited by a friend from that theater to go to cast party after the show, and that's where I met Joe, and we became instant friends.
And you said there was a classic Joe Watts style. Tell us about what that style was. Was it overacting? Was it scene stealing? How did he sort of work his magic on stage?
He fit right into the fabric of the play. I never saw Joe on stage where he did something that was not not within character of the play. He was a wonderfully creative man, particularly as a director. But one of his forgotten, our most heavily guarded secrets was the fact that he was also a very, very fine actor.
So in 1985, Joe founded the Group Theater, and one of the first performances that they did was to stage a play called One with an actor, Kent Johnson,
yes.
And that was as a benefit for AIDS Foundation Houston. See One, and if you did, tell us a little bit about it.
I saw the play. It was beautifully directed and beautifully acted. Kent is...
And did Joe direct that production?
He's a consummate actor.
And Joe directed that production?
Joe directed that production. He has claimed that it was the first play produced in Houston that dealt with the subject of AIDS. I never challenged that or researched it. But if it wasn't the first, it was certainly one of the first. And it was performed at the Unitarian Church just outside of downtown Houston, out as you're going toward the medical center. I believe it's on Cannon, or it was. And it was an extremely well done production and it was a in-your-face play about the AIDS epidemic, and this was when we were fast going into the dark days of AIDS, and it was very timely.
Can you talk a little bit about the structure of the Group Theater and how it operated?
Group Theater, first of all, did not have a permanent home. Joe was always looking for venues for his plays, and he would do them. In different places. I remember he did one in a back room of a tiny little coffee house one time on Westheimer that was just right on the edge of the Montrose area. He did a production one time at the Rothko Chapel, and but he looked for venues that sort of would help enhance the production, whatever he was planning to do. One of his first productions was a series of monologues and one act plays that he did for Pride, and he did it in the space that became the first theater for the first building for stages, long before they were in their present space. And as a matter of fact, one of the people that was in that show was Suzanne Anderson, who was a well-known realtor in Houston for a number of years, and she did a piece that was written by her wife, Judith, it was just a series of very, very interesting things. Some people in that show are still acting. In fact, one Andy Dawson was in that production, and he is a working actor in New York now, even to this day.
And if you've just joined us, we are talking about the legacy of Joe Watts. He was dubbed the grandfather of gay theater in Houston, a true pioneer for staging gay productions. And we are speaking with one of his closest friends, George Chante Crane. George, tell me about the best production that you ever saw that Joe directed or acted in. What was the play? What made it special? And if you can remember the years, when was it on stage?
uh, hard question to answer succinctly, but seriously, I would say that certainly I think his directorial crown in Houston it's a piece called The Greatest Story Ever Told, and it puts Adam and Steve in the Garden of Eden instead of Adam and Eve. He did that with his Theater New West group when he had Theater New West in a permanent home over on California Street in the Montrose area, and it was I can't give you enough superlatives about that production.
I actually think I saw that production. Didn't it have an actor named Steve Bullitt in it? And it was highly irreverent. Lots of beefcake and A Good Night at the Theater.
And yes. And there were, let's see, Toby Marks was in it, who is still doing theater in Houston. And Murray Hooper was in it as well, who has been. Is known as an actress, and she's also an esthetician. Has had an aesthetic studio in the Montrose area for many years, and has a reputation for being one of the best facialists around. I went to her several times when I was living in Houston, and there are a lot of people, I think, that still remember that production. Another top flight production he also did a production of Bent, and he staged that at the Holocaust Museum.
And for people who don't know, Bent is a play about the genocide conducted against gay, lesbian, and trans people during the Second World War, and it's a very powerful play.
Yeah, and of course, it really packed a wallop being done there at the Holocaust Museum, and I don't remember the venue at the moment, but he also did a wonderful production just years ago before he left Houston of the Laramie Project, and he did something different than any other people had done. He actually had the character of Matthew Shepard on stage. He never spoke or anything. He was in the shadows just watching the whole story unfold, and it added a very interesting dimension to the production.
Can you talk to us about how Joe was impacted by AIDS and some of the productions that he directed as a result of that impact?
Yes, particularly when he staged Normal Heart in 2006. That kind of had a double impact, I think, on Joe. I think most everybody knew that in 1996, Joe was diagnosed positive, and in the year 2006, he was a 10-year survivor, and because of the whole theme of that play, the way Larry Kramer wrote it is a searing attack on the indifference of government and people and people in all walks of life about the AIDS epidemic. So it was, I thought it, I saw it as a double thing, impact for Joe, not only his own dealing with AIDS, but also his fight early on when he started doing gay theater in Houston, his fight to see, there were a number of plays that had been done, like Boys in the Band and stuff like this, but Joe's fight to have gay theater that had a political or controversial message accepted in Houston long before society was willing to accept us as a community. And so I think that show he had wanted to do it for a long time, and it certainly was still timely, even though he did it by 2006, many people had found a way to live with AIDS without it. It certainly was not the death sentence, that it was in the mid to late 80s. And I honestly saw that as having a double impact on, because when Joe first started doing gay theater in Houston, people were indifferent to it. I can remember plays, productions, don't remember specific productions, but I can remember performances that, he was lucky to have 10 or 12 people in the audience. And but then when things caught on and they realized that he really was a formidable force, that he was a very creative man, then he packed the houses. And I remember him telling me when we visited at Christmas time last year that Normal Heart would always hold a special place in his heart.
And George, we have about a minute left. What would you say is Joe Watts' legacy for Houston theater, for Houston gay theater, and for Houston's LGBTQ community in a minute?
He has, first of all, his death has left a huge hole in the fabric of Houston theater in general. And I hope that there is going to be someone that admires Joe's work that will step up to the plate will honor Joe's legacy by continuing production of fine gay theater in the city of Houston.
Thank you, George, for talking to us about Joe Watts. He was a pioneer of Houston gay theater. He died last week at the age of 76 years old, and he was dubbed the grandfather of gay theater in Houston. For anyone who would like to honor Joe, there'll be a celebration of his life on April 17th at the Montrose Center, and I believe the time is tentatively set for 7 o'clock. Jack, I remember you knew Joe Watts, and he did some...
He came on this program a lot, and I remember really trying to support him because he did such great theater.